of ability to wield force, authority, or influence power. Which is a lot of other things. If you're an engineer, you're talking about power. It's a 500 pounds, pick 1 foot over a period of time, you know, that kind of stuff. But this is not that. Number two, authority. Authority implies power for a specific purpose within specified limits. You have authority. Three, dominion stresses sovereign power or supreme authority, absolute ownership. Okay, those are the three. I was thinking about these and I said, you know, I can have power. Picked up a rubber band and I was telling Christine and Pauline, I said, I've got the power to pull that thing back. And I could flip somebody. But the answer is, you don't have the authority for that. Right? You have the power. We all have power to do all kinds of things, but we don't have the authority to do it. Can't do it. Can't let that go and pop somebody. So there's a lot of things in power, authority, and dominion. As you can look back these all up and find out for yourself these. I found out we find these all through the Bible. You just do a Bible search and power and authority, and they're all over. And I found out that it can be used for good or bad. And I think you know that too, right? Rubber bands are great, right? You can put them around things. My wife puts them around her little bank thing. We do put them all over the place. And you can also pop somebody. So there's not a good spot and there's a bad spot. Don't do that. If we turn to Genesis, well, maybe turn there a little bit. Let me just, I'll just take off here and then we'll see where we get to. In Genesis, the first chapter, it tells us that God created heavens and earth. So right from the beginning, we see then the sovereignty, the word sovereignty of God, the power with which he rules is exercised by his will, his word, and his works. Okay? God created everything. With his will, he decides and designs. God has a will, he thinks things through, and he decides and he decides what it's going to be, and he designs it. By his word, he speaks creation into being. By his own works, his spirit displays his unlimited power, his authority, and his authority to rule, and his authority to rule is his pre-existence and holiness. Okay, God thinks it. That's his will. By his word, he speaks it. Creation comes in. By his own works, his spirit displays his unlimited power. His authority to rule is his pre-existence and holiness. Right? God can rule because he was before everything. He created everything. He is before eternity or creation. His benevolent intent in creating all things good, right, reveals his holy nature. What did God say about everything he created? It was good. In fact, the farther he got, he says, it is really good. It's very good. So, he is a good God, so he creates good things and reveals his holy nature. Thus, his moral right to creation's king. Because he is who he is, and because he's a good God, because he created everything, so he has the right to be king. Right? All things. He is the king of the universe, of everything. All kingdom, power, and authority flow from him. I think, though, these are pretty basic things. You probably all know this. All kingdom power, then, if he's the king, they flow from him. And the authority from God. So after God created all things that we read in Genesis chapter 1, then he creates man or mankind. So we read in chapter 1, verse 27, So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. In verse 28, then God blessed them and said to them, be fruitful and multiply. Fill the earth, subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. So what did God just do? He created them, and what did he give them? He gave them the word dominion. Stresses sovereign power, all supreme authority, absolute ownership. Of what? Then we have to think real carefully here because you get this wrong. It says, have dominion over the fish of the sea, birds of the air, every living thing that moves on the earth. So the question I ask, did he give him everything? Ownership over the whole earth? No, just what was on the earth, right? Okay, God is still king. He still owns the earth. The heavens, the stars, all the things we see out there still belong to God. Those were not given to Adam. The things that God created on the earth, he gave him dominion over. That sovereign power or ownership. It's yours, Adam. You make a choice. You do. God, the creator of the universe, makes a choice to delegate to man dominion over the earth. God created it. God makes the choice, and he gives it to man. Wow. Let me ask, was God afraid to give it to man? Was God said, you know, I'm afraid to give it to him. I just don't know what to do. Maybe, should I or should I not? Can I trust him? What can I do with him? He never thought about it that much, I don't think. Yeah, I can trust him. I'm going to do it. So he made him, gave him dominion over the earth. So, I said, man's ability to keep this role as designated ruling of the earth will rest in his continued obedience to God's rule as king. You want to rule under the king? What do you got to be? Obedient. Do what the king says. That's not that difficult, I don't think. If he's going to keep his role as the dominion and power over the earth, what God has given him, he's going to have to follow what God has designated. Because God is still king. His power to reign in life will be extend only as far as his faithfulness to obey the laws that God has. His reign in life will extend only as far as his faithfulness to obey God's laws. So, God talked to Adam. Remember in the garden, God talked to him. When they had a family, God still talked to him. Even when things went wrong, God still talked to them. God never let them go and let them do their own thing. God was always involved, always there. So what do we have? We have man in a garden, man and a woman in a beautiful garden. They have total control of everything. What more could you want? What more could you ask for? If you asked for it, you would have gotten it. Except there was some rule. There was one thing. They had control of everything. So, chapter 3 of Genesis. Who shows up in chapter 3 of Genesis? Anybody remember? Who showed up in the garden? How about some of you kids? You guys should know this. I have an answer. Yeah. Who? Satan. That's true. How did he show up as? Who did he show up into? Snake. That's absolutely right. The serpent or the snake? I like the snake. Sounds better. Snake. So, I got a question. Who made the serpent? Who made the snake? Anybody? How about some of you kids? Who made the snake? I just told you a while ago. Who made everything on the face of the earth? All the animals, all the things. Who did? God did. Right. That was a hard one, man. Guys, who made the serpent? God. Right? God made the serpent. Who did God say was in charge of all the animals? Who's in charge here? Man. Adam, Eve, you guys, you're in charge. Got it. So what happens? The snake comes in. Devil takes the snake, talks to him. He goes talk to Eve. And what's he say? He said, did God say that you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? She says, yes, right? Yeah, we can eat of all the garden, eat any of the trees. But says there's a tree in the midst of the garden where God said, you shall not eat lest you die. Snake said, don't believe that. You can't believe. You're not going to die. How about that? How can that be? So if that's not true, then what does that make God out to be? If they're not going to die.
A liar.
You got it. And is God a liar? The scripture says he cannot lie. It is impossible for God to lie. It's not in his nature. He can never tell you a lie. I love that. So whatever he says is true. Always, ever, forever. Sometimes these simple, basic things, guys, we forget. He said, you know, maybe God got it wrong. No, he didn't get it wrong. He's always got it right. So, here's an opportunity for our man Adam to stand up, take his place, take authority, power, jump right out there and straighten this out. What did Adam do? Adam did not take his authority to send the snake from the garden. Right? He did not do that. Instead, what did he do? Okay. What did he do? Instead, he ate some of the fruit that Eve gave him, thus bringing them under God's judgment. She says, hey, this is pretty good. Adam, try it. He says, great. He takes it. He comes under the same judgment. Now they come under God's judgment. Now all of a sudden you change from being totally into control under God, back under God's judgment. I said before, his power to reign in life will extend only as far as his faithfulness to obey God's laws. God is still king. God still owns the universe and everything in it. If you're going to disobey, disobedience brings judgment. Judgment has to be. So God, I like God. He always starts at the bottom and goes right back. He doesn't start any just anywhere with his judgments. So Adam and Eve were not directly cursed. God did not curse Adam and Eve. But the snake was. He got it big time. It'd be interesting to say what God said. Well, God does tell you in Genesis 3:14 and in Genesis 3, he tells you what about the snake? He said, you know what? From now on, you're going to be on the ground eating dust as long as you live. That's it. You're not going to have any kind of a place anymore, a position. You're going to be on the dirt eating. That's going to be you. Wow. Maybe not sound too bad. I mean, think about it. Think about it in today's terms. What if you were a snake and you were on the freeway at rush time, people going home, and you had to get across? Not a good thing to be. You'd rather be a bird than a snake. Somebody's going to flatten you out. Don't want to be a snake. Genesis 3:14, then God says to Eve, God started with the snake, told him what's going to happen to him, comes up the line, says, Eve, this is what's going to happen to you. Pain in childbirth. She's also going to be under Adam's rule. It may not sound much to us guys, but to women, that's very, very important. To Adam, because he listened to his wife, he should have said no. He said, the ground was cursed and thistles and thorns would rise up. He would have to deal with them all his life. Thistles and thorns and every little thing that comes up like that. And working the ground would be very difficult. He's going to have to work the ground by the sweat of his brow. It's not going to be an easy task. It's going to be a hard go. I've always wondered where all the thorns came from. They came from right here, huh? Adam's fault. If it wasn't for Adam, we wouldn't have any thorns, guys. You ever try to dig some of this Arizona soil? Oh, it's bad news. Adam, I don't know about you. So, another thing that happened here is the dominion that Adam had was lost. So, Satan has an area of influence now over man and over what's going on. Right from the very beginning, right from the get-go, this happens. So now we have all of the whole Bible from there to the death of Jesus. God has a plan. God always has a plan. He's never If you ask him what's happening next, he's got an idea. He's got an answer. He knows what's going on. I said, let's turn to, was it Genesis 4? I think I've got a 2. Genesis 4 kind of gives us an idea of what happened to Adam and Eve. I'll read just a few verses here and you kind of get a picture. I think you all know this. Now Adam knew his wife, and they conceived and bore Cain, and said, I have acquired a man of the Lord. And she bore again, this time, a brother, Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, there's time. Now we see time. When God created man, there was a time. We have a time. There's a beginning and there is an end of time. God lives where? In the eternal, right? No time, no beginning, and no end. I know these are all basic for you guys. You probably already know all these things. But here's the process of time. He had 2 sons, about 9 months each, so you can figure that up right quick, 18 months or so, give or take a few. Got a couple of boys. It came to pass that Cain brought an offering to the Lord, the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the first fruit of his fold, his flock, and their fat, and the Lord respected Abel and his offering. God looked at both the offerings and said, that one I like, that one I don't like. It came from the ground, it came from the cursed thing. And so, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. Okay? If your dad says, hey, you're not going to do this, what do you do? Okay, Dad, I'm sorry. Let me get back on track. What do I need to do? He's got a bad attitude already. He's just got started, and he's already got a bad attitude. He makes it very clear. He said, he did not have respect for Cain and his offerings, and Cain was angry. Cain got mad. Where did he get mad? He got mad in his heart. Yeah, you'll take his, but you won't take mine. Can you see this all starting to build? The enemy is coming in and doing. So the Lord said to Cain, like any good dad would do, right? And sit down and talk to him. Say, hey, you got to get it right. You got to do, you got to follow the commandment. You got to do what I want you to do. You got to do the right thing. He said, at first God asked him, he says, why are you so angry? And he said, that your countenance has fallen. I'm just not happy. I'm just not happy about it. That's what, and he's got this bad attitude. God says this, if you do well, will you not be accepted? If you do the right thing, you'll be accepted. Like you and I, we do the right things, we'll be accepted in God, right? And if you do not do well, so if you don't want to, that's your choice. Don't do it then. But God says, if you do well, if you do not do well, sin lies at your door. Sin is crouching, waiting at the door of your life and your heart, and if you don't do, and his desire, Satan's desire, is to have you. He's looking to get you, bring you down, bring you under. So you need to change that attitude. You need to change that heart. So God tells him, you know what you need to do? This fits us all perfectly well, folks, in our own lives. But you should rule over it. God's saying, you need to rule over this. Don't let this guy drag you down. Don't take it. Don't do it. Put some authority over this. Don't let him rule you. So you know the story. They went out in the field, and I assume that there was an argument that happened. We don't know. Cain rose up against Abel, brother, and he killed him. He would not change. He would not change his heart. He had no repentance at all for what he was doing or had done. Not a good place. Not a good place. So there's a downhill run we see. If you go ahead and read on through some more Genesis about Cain, about Cain, his family, his son did the same thing he did. He went out and killed the guy. just kind of a this progression on. And you know why I did it, he says, his son said, because he hurt me. He hurt me, I killed him. Sounds like today, doesn't it? Doesn't it sound like today? I have rights, you know. Don't we all have rights? It's interesting. I just see this and I say, wow, wow, wow. Father like son, right down the road. But you know, interesting thing about that. Remember what God did to Cain when he left? Because of what he did? He put a mark on him. What was the mark for? Just think about it for a second. Was it because God said, I'm going to mark you and you're going to be, you bad guy? Everybody's going to see you and they're going to know you're a bad guy. That's not what he said. I like, so got some heads going the right way. No. God is a good God. God's a great God. God did it to protect him. Right? It was a protection for him. Because when somebody, he said, Cain says, hey, man, if somebody finds me, they're going to kill me for what I've done. God says, no, no, no. I'm going to put a mark on you. Anybody sees you, they're going to say, woo. Hey, God's protecting him. Let's stay away from him. Don't do what they did. That's the point. That was God's point. God loved him enough to do that. I don't think Cain changed his mind very much, but where am I at now? Okay. Strength and power comes from God. That's true. I looked and I said, man, there's lots of battles in power and good and evil throughout the Old Testament. Lots and lots of them. You've read through a lot of it. Not, it's just all kinds of things. It's a downhill rattle trail for mankind because of what Adam did in the garden. But I said power and authority works out in the New Testament with Jesus and his disciples. It works out for us. Not because of anything that we have done, because of what Jesus has done. Starts out pretty much in Luke 4, verse 1. Jesus is coming to John, and he was being baptized by John in the river. Jesus came to John. John baptized him, and we saw the dove coming down on him. Saw him come up out of the water. The Holy Spirit, God speaking to him, this is my beloved Son. Listen to him. They should hear him. And then he was led by the Spirit, Jesus was, into the wilderness. Just came up out of there with a great blessing, great thing. Satan tempting him for 40 days. So we have him going to take care of Jesus for 40 days. Be in the wilderness. Verse 5 says, the devil showed Jesus all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. Bang, bang, bang. All these kingdoms. All these things, he tells him. Verse 6, the devil said, all this authority I will give you and their glory. For it has been delivered to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish. How about that? Satan has the audacity to take the Son of God and say that. Man's dominion was lost at the fall. We see the devil as administrator of the curse of this planet. So now he's administrating to the curse. All that you see around her, all the cities, all this great glory, I'll give to you. What do you need to do? You need to bow down to me. Show me the authority. What happened to the king, the creator of all things? See, he's jumping in, usurping authority that he doesn't have. But he does in this area, right? He couldn't have made that statement and not get away with it because it was true. He did have authority. He did have power. But Jesus knows that he, that's Jesus, is here to regain these kingdoms. He's here. He knows what he's here for. Because when he was a boy, you remember, and he's in the temple, and his parents went to come back to find him, They said, why did you leave us here and worry us? He said, why are you worried? He said, don't you know I need to be about my Father's business? I have things to do that they don't understand. So Jesus is going to regain these kingdoms, but not on the devil's terms, but on God's terms. I'll change this around, not on Satan's. The 1 John 5:19, Jesus said that Satan's rule will be cast down, and he has nothing in me. Jesus said, we're going to cast it down because he has nothing. He has found nothing to get a hold of in me. No hooks can be put into me, Jesus said. He can't find anything. Can you and I say that? The devil has nothing in me. Just move on, buddy. There's nothing here you can have. Nothing you can touch. Don't give him any excuses. Luke 4:14, Jesus returned in the power of the Spirit. When he came back out of that, he came in the power of the Spirit. The Spirit of God was upon him, the Holy Spirit. And it was the Holy Spirit then that led Jesus through his lifetime to the Father. So we too need to move in the power of the Holy Spirit of God. We need to move in the power of the Spirit of God. Not in our own, not in the devil's certainly, but in the power of the Spirit. God has made all these provisions for you and I. Mark 3:14-15. Jesus calls 12 of his disciples to send them out to preach. Okay? So, 2, 3, get my things here. Okay. Send them out to preach and to have power to heal sickness, cast out demons. The power word here is exousia. That's the word, power. Power exousia. Meaning the authority or the right to act. Jesus said, you've got exousia. You can act. You have the power. I'm going to give you the power that you need to act. Exousia is a right. Even it gives you also the right to use dunamis, another word. Dunamis is or might or power, or some people have said it's like dynamite. Another word that has it, you have that kind of power. I want to give you authority and power to use these things. You can have some, it's going to be a great thing for his disciples. So Jesus gave his disciples exousia to preach, teach, heal, and deliver. I'm going to give you power to do all these things. You have authority to do all these things. Go out and go do it. That's New Testament. This is Jesus talking. And that the authority... And that authority has never been rescinded. He didn't say, okay, after a few weeks, we'll stop this. It comes down to you and me. Has that changed? Has that authority changed for you and I? Are you his disciples? Do you follow after Christ? Are you saved, born again, and a follower of Christ? Then you fall under this. He's given you, his disciples, to preach, teach, heal, and deliver. And I'll give you the power that it takes to do it. Put some pressure on you guys. Powerless ministries become powerful when they discover exousia power resident in the name and the blood of Jesus. Remember the old song, there's power in the blood? Absolutely. Absolutely. Again in Mark 6:7-14, Jesus sent out his disciples 2 by 2. He gave them power over unclean spirits. Jesus said, if they will not hear you, I'm going to send you out, guys. You guys go to all these towns, all these cities and places. You preach the gospel. Heal the sick. Whatever that you need to do. He said, if they will not hear you, they say, no, go on. Don't come back another time. I don't want to see about it. He said, shake the dust off of your feet as a testimony against them. Go outside the city, knock the dust off your feet. He said, as a testimony against them, that they had been there, and you didn't hear, you didn't care, you didn't want to be. He said it would be more tolerable for Sodom and Gomorrah in the day of judgment than for that city. Now, that's a pretty strong, pretty strong word. What happened to Sodom and Gomorrah? Does anybody remember? Fire and brimstone. Wow. He said, it's going to be easier for those people that had fire and brimstone rained on them, the new people that refuse the gospel. Wow. Wow. God is serious about this. They preached for people. What were they preaching? To repent. They cast out many demons, anointed with oil, sick, and healed them. So they were out doing what they were to do. One scripture that I like pretty well is this, Luke 10:19. Jesus says, "Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents," how about that, "scorpions, over all the power of the enemy, and nothing by any means shall hurt you." I like that. You can walk on those snakes no matter what. Scorpions. What did he give him? What did he give you and me? Authority. And what did we say authority was? Go back to my first sheet, whatever I did with it. Authority. Implies power for a specific purpose within specified limits. Snake, that's specified. Is it a special purpose? Oh, yes. Can I walk on him? Uh-huh. So he asks you to do that, right? And he says, and nothing by any means will hurt you. How about that? I like that. How can you go wrong? Dominion over evil has been given. But we can expect to use spiritual breakthrough to the degree we receive and apply that authority in prayer, preaching, teaching, and personal ministry. Right? Dominion over the devil has been given. God said you have, but it's only as much as you are willing to apply it. You have the authority then in prayer, preaching, teaching, and personal ministry. It's what you apply. Another word that comes to mind is the word iniquity. Kind of came to me a little bit late in the thing, and I wrote it on the back of something here. There we go. I wrote it in pencil. Iniquity. What is that? One, it's gross injustice or wickedness. Two, it's violation of right or duty or wicked act or sin. Three, it's hostile action or practice lawlessness. Iniquity. Scripture talks about iniquity in a person's heart. So what's there? It's wickedness, right of duty. You violate somebody's, or the wickedness or sin, a hostile action. You don't want that in there. What happens to people? You know what happens? We have the situation, remember, of Cain and Abel? What did Cain say? What was in his heart? Angry. I'm mad about the whole situation. Iniquity is there. Okay? You don't want that iniquity. Luke 13, verse 27. There's some people came to him and they said, actually, let's just read it. I got a little number there that I've got to go find. Let's just take a look at that. I think it says some things to us. 13, verse 27. 26, 27. There's some people that come to Jesus. And they say to him, "Lord, let us in." And they're standing outside the door knocking. And he says, opens the door, says, "Lord, Lord, open to us." And he will answer and say to you, "I do not know where you are from." I don't know you. Where are you from? What country, land are you from? I don't know you. He said, well, Lord, you know us. How can you not know us, you know? But we were with you. We were in the street. You taught us. How can you not know who we are? He makes a statement. Then he will begin to say, "We ate and drank with you, your presence and you taught us in your streets." And he will say, "I tell you, I do not know you, where you are from. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity." Hey, Lord, you know us. You know who we are. He said, "I don't know you. I know what I do know of you. You're a worker of iniquity. The things we just said. Gross injustice, violation of rights or duties, hostile actions. We heard you. We listened to you. Went to church with you, Lord. We did all kinds of things with you. He said, no. You're a worker of iniquity. He didn't mess with them. There'll be weeping and gnashing of teeth when you see Abraham and Isaac and all of the prophets in the kingdom of God, yourselves thrust out. That's strong language, guys. He's saying, you're not going to make it. You know that? Because I don't know you. I don't know you personally. You never talked to me personally. You just heard me. You thought it was a great idea. Don't work. No fruit. They don't have any fruit. Matthew 7, 22, 23. I got these mixed up today. One, there's one right there. Let's jump over there. Matthew 7, 22, 23. 27, 22. I think I got it right. Yes, this is Jesus talking to, same thinking, really. He said, not everyone that says to me, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom. But Lord, 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 you know us, you know us. Go enter the kingdom of heaven. But he who does the will of my Father in heaven. Is that not the same thing that God told Cain and Abel way back? If you do well, you know, you'd be okay. You'll be able to do. He says, who does the will of my Father? The king. Many will say to me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not prophesied in your name, cast out demons in your name, and done many wonders in your name? Well, sound like this is a good group. Good group to be with. And then I will declare to them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who practice lawlessness. You're practicing lawlessness. So what is that? That's iniquity. Same thing, hostile action. Practice lawlessness. You have iniquity in your heart. The Lord, we've done all these great things. I didn't authorize you. You did what you did. I did all kinds of great things. I did not authorize you. I don't know you. You took a power that wasn't yours because you have a bad heart. You have a bad attitude. He says, you're not going to make it. They weren't willing to change. They were willing to do. They had power and authority, but he said, I didn't authorize you. You're not authorized to use my name. But God moved on the people. I never knew you. Depart from me. I never knew. You never knew me personally. You're going to have to know Jesus personally. I just wrote a little note. Repentance and faith. That's about right. You got to repent and you got to have faith. There's no way around that. Did I get through here? Where am I at? I'm lost. So, this power has been given. Talk about Sodom and Gomorrah, the judgment that was going to come upon them. They're going to have it better. I don't know. How can you... it's kind of hard to say what's just better, isn't it? Fire and brimstone, like a volcano type of action, come down and just destroy the city. Wiped it all out. And God says it's going to be better for them than it is for you. That's interesting. So are there degrees in hell? Apparently there are to some degree. Some's going to get a little more. Scripture says about some will get a few stripes and some will get many stripes. So there is a difference. Okay. Get into all these other theology things. So again, they preach for people to repent. They cast out many demons, appointed... This is his disciples. I just read where he says, I give you authority to trample on serpents, scorpions, and all power of the enemy. Nothing shall by any means hurt you. Dominion over evil has been given. And I said, the degree we receive and apply. We receive authority and we apply authority in prayer. How do we apply it? In what we do, okay? How we apply the power, the authority, and dominion, all these things, is what we do in our prayer, in our preaching, our teaching, and personal ministry. What we do to each other, what we do to everybody around about us. We got Matthew 28:18 to read. Let's see what that one is right quick. 6. I got these little numbers here. Okay. This is Matthew 28:18. Okay. And Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, now, who's he talking to? Let me take a second here, see who he's talking to. This is the Great Commission. So he's talking to his disciples. When the 11 went away into Galilee, into the mountain, which Jesus had appointed for them, when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. I read those kind of things and it kind of throws me. This is his disciples, called them all together. Hey guys, meet me over here. I want to talk to you some more. So they all get there. He says, and some of them didn't believe it. They all those are worshiping him there. And it says they worshiped him, but some didn't. They're still, I don't think so. I'm still doubting. Verse 18 says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Story's changed. I thought it was all went to the other guy. He said, no. I have regained that. All authority, and what we say authority was, I always got to remember myself authority. Power for specific purpose within special limits. God says, it's all been given to me. What's in heaven and what's on earth. Go therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you even to the end of the age. Final words. What is it? I'm going to give you authority. All authority, all power and authority has been given to me from heaven, in heaven and on earth. What do you need to do? He says, you go and you do. And you observe and you do everything that I've told you. You got to remember what you've done, what you've been doing. I sent you out 2 by 2. I sent you out 20 at a time. You all came back. You were pleased that the devils were subject to you. God made all these things available to you. He said, I'm going to be with you always. How's he going to be with me always? He told his disciple, I've got to go back to the Father. How can you be always with me when you're back at the Father? He said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, I'm going to send you another person just like me. I like it. Jesus said, you're going to be just like me. And he's going to tell you everything you ever needed to know about me, what you've learned. He'll bring it to your remembrance. He'll be with you always. He'll never leave you or forsake you. You might ask, well, where can I find him when I need an answer? He said, not a problem. He's going to live in you. You're going to be his temple, his place of abode. He's going to stay with you. Wow. Now that's a guy you want to be with. That's the Holy Spirit that he said he would send back when he went to the Father. Of course, we have to ask ourselves, did he go to the Father? You know how we know we got there? Because we have the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit came to the earth. Jesus made it real clear to his disciples, you need to be baptized in the Holy Spirit. You need to have him working in your life every day. Because he has the answers. He is, to you and I, God on earth. You may be that earth, but he is God in you. And he's a person. He's not a shadow or an it or some other thing. People talk about him sometimes. Can't talk about him. I'm always amazed at the scriptures when people want to say things about the things of God. God said, here's one thing. You can talk about God the Father. You can talk about God the Son. And you'll be forgiven. You can say what you want to, curse him if you want to, but you will be forgiven of that, of course, if you repent. They said, you say something about the Holy Spirit, and it will not be forgiven you. not now or then. Wow. And I've heard, I don't know about you, but I've heard a lot of things people talk about the Holy Spirit, what they think he is and all the things. I'm saying, you're treading on some very dangerous ground. Forgiveness isn't there for that. So isn't it amazing what authority you and I have only on the basis of what Christ has done? What Satan thought he had in the garden, he had, don't get me wrong, he still has it. It's still out there. He's still out there running around. But see, he doesn't come over you. He doesn't control over you. He says, you do it. Christ says, you need to control it. Whatever's bothering you, you need to control it. You need to bring it under subjection, under power of the Holy Spirit. You need to bring it under power. What did the Lord's Prayer say? Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. If it's working right in heaven, it'll work right on earth. If you take authority over it, you exercise your power, authority, and the dominion that you have in those areas. He's given it to us. I think that was about all I had, I think. So let's pray. Father, we thank you. Cannot thank you enough for what you have done through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, Lord, in the earth today. Your power has not diminished. You're still king. You're still king of the kingdom. Jesus said that he had the keys to the kingdom. He's also got the keys of hell and the grave. Shall not come near you. So Lord, we just thank you today for your word, for what you have given to us. You have returned to us what was lost so many thousand years ago. But Lord, you are the same yesterday, today, and forever. You change not. And I thank you right now for your word. Thank you, Father. Bless your people today. Oh God, let your word just sink into our hearts. If we need to repent, let us repent. Change our minds about the things that we thought about you. And I bless you in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay.